Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the second quarter 2012 results conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Bill Williams, President and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Williams.
Thank you. Good morning. During this conference call, we will discuss our financial results for the second quarter ended March 31, 2012, and provide an update on operations. Our presentation is available on the front page of the company website entitled Q2 Fiscal 2012 Presentation at www.urbana.com. We ask that you please note our forward-looking statement on slide 2 and take a moment to read it in its entirety. I'd like to welcome on the call with me today Malcolm King, Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Agni Alanius, Chief Operating Officer, and Jim Jock, Vice President Operations. Once we have completed our presentation, we welcome questions, and the operator will explain how you may participate as we draw to a close. Note that this call is being recorded and will be made available on our website for replay. We will first have Malcolm provide a summary of our financial results for the second quarter ended March 31st, 2012, which were released Tuesday and are available in their entirety on our company website and SEDAR. Malcolm?
Thanks, Bill. I'd like to turn to slide 4, please. The focus of my remarks will be on the results for the second quarter of the current fiscal year. In fact, the results for the second quarter ended March 31, 2012 are not truly comparable with the second quarter of fiscal 2011 because Urbana's production and revenues for the second quarter last year came solely from the small and now depleted Las Toas open pit deposit near the Don Mario mine in Bolivia. This year, however, results for the March 31 quarter reflect production and shipments from both the El Valle Buenas Carles, or EVBC, mines in Spain and the Don Mario Upper Mineralized Zone, or UMZ, mine in Bolivia. By the end of the first quarter, ended December 31, 2011, the UMZ mine in Bolivia had moved from commissioning to the production stage, and thus our results for the quarter just ended reflect production and sales from the UMZ for the full quarter. In the 3 months ended March 31 this year, just over 230,000 tons were treated by the two mines, Spain and Bolivia, combined to produce about 13,000 ounces of gold, of which 84% was produced at EVBC, about 115,000 ounces of silver during the quarter, of which 71% was produced at the Don Mario UMC, and just over 3 million pounds of copper, of which 68% was produced at the Don Mario UMC. So as I mentioned, the only production for the second quarter last year was just under 5,000 ounces of gold doré from the Las Toas open pit mine in Bolivia. Turning now to slide 5. Revenue for the second quarter of fiscal 2012 amounted to just over $31 million on just over 11,000 ounces of gold sold, 87,000 ounces of silver, and revenue from just over 3,300,000 pounds of copper. Gross margin for the second quarter was just over $9 million, and again, the $1.3 million gross margin for the same period last year came solely from the now-depleted Las Toas deposit. The net loss after tax for the second quarter ended March 31, 2012, was $7.9 million, or 6 cents a share. However, excluding the after-tax impact of $12.1 million of derivative losses presented for accounting purposes, Urbana would have reported a consolidated net income for the quarter ended March 31, 2012, of $4.1 million in earnings. The company ended the quarter with cash of $7.4 million. And finally, I'll repeat that in the conference call last quarter, we mentioned we had completed additional financings totaling $20.3 million, including an increase of $13.8 million in our credit facility with Credit Suisse for the EVBC mine in Spain, and a loan of $6.5 million from the majority shareholder for the UMZ mine in Bolivia and for general corporate purposes. So with that, I will now turn things back to Bill.
Thank you, Malcolm. Well, now I'll update you on our three key projects, EVBC in Spain, our flagship, Don Mario UMZ in Bolivia, and Copperwood in Michigan. Agnew Lanius will discuss EVBC. Agnew?
Thank you, Bill. Moving to slide 7, the EVBC mine has been in commercial production since 2011. During the second quarter, we processed approximately 127,000 tons through the mill. Head grades along with the recoveries continue to improve. Cash costs, including royalties for the quarter, were $745 per ounce of gold net of byproducts, definite improvement over the our first quarter cash cost of $1,088 per ounce of gold net of byproducts. Completion of the shaft, which will begin commissioning in the third quarter of 2012, is very important for the future of the mine, resulting in improved flexibility, increased mine production, and reduced costs. As noted on slide 8, for the second quarter, 126,978 tons of 2.83 gram per ton of gold, 10.27 gram per ton silver, and 0.4% copper were processed. Production for the quarter was 10,761 ounces of gold, 956,000 pounds of copper, and 33,049 ounces of silver. Recoveries were 83.2%, 85.1%, and 78.8% respectively. We project fiscal year 2012 production at the EVBC to be 52,000 ounces of gold, 2,000 tons of copper, and 125,000 ounces of silver. Moving to slide 9, with an expected mine life of more than 10 years, we continue to look beyond 2012 and will investigate alternatives to maximize the mill output, enhance recoveries, seek improved head grade, increase gold production, and reduce the cost per ounce of gold produced. Bill will now discuss Don Mario. Bill? Bill?
In Bill's absence.
Yes, I'm sorry. Moving on to slot 10, the startup of the Don Mario Upper Mineralized Zone, a UMZ, began in April 2011. During the second quarter, the leach precipitation flotation process, or LPF, copper recovery, and concentrate quality continued to improve. It was also established that a bulk copper lead concentrate could be made by running mixed ores or transition ore through the flotation circuit. In addition, we were able to increase throughput. In April, oxide ore was processed by the LPF circuit at about 1,900 tons per day for about 18 days, after which repairs, maintenance, and certain upgrades to both the sulfuric acid plant and the leach precipitation circuit began. Transition ore was processed by flotation only at a throughput of over 2,500 tons per day for 10 days. We are currently processing transition ore. To date, over 6,000 dry metric tons of concentrate with grades over 40%, over 25 grams per ton gold, and over 800 grams per ton silver have been produced, most of which has been transported to the ocean port in Arica, Chile. Shipments of most of this concentrate have been made to customers. In April, the company announced that fiscal 2012 production guidance for gold increased from 11,000 ounces to 12,500 ounces, silver increased from 425,000 ounces to 500,000 ounces, and copper decreased from 6,000 tons to 5,500 tons. In January, we announced an updated reserve estimate that factored in higher costs for LPF processing. However, with the successful flotation of ores that contain copper and sulfides, as well as the increase in throughput, the mine plan cited therein will be modified. Jim will now update you on our Copperwood Copper project in Michigan.
Moving to slide 11, the Copperwood project is located in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where nearly 7 million tons of copper were produced over 100 years. The Copperwood mineralization was discovered and delineated during the 1950s, but never developed. In February of 2012, we announced feasibility study results for Copperwood, which is planned to be a 13-year underground operation that applies drill and blast methods and room and pillar mining.
mineable reserves reported were proven of 23.14 million short tons of 1.46% copper and 3.98 grams per ton silver, and probable of 7.09 short tons of 1.21% copper and 2.44 grams ton silver. The plan calls for development of a ramp box cut to access the ore bed. All development will be focused on the ore bed. Virtually no waste rock will be handled. To date, the communities surrounding the Copperwood mine and their local officials have been supportive of the venture. On April 30th of 2012, we were pleased to announce the receipt of the mining permit. This permit is key for bringing the Copperwood mine into operation and indicates that the state of Michigan considers the project to have met all the necessary criteria to operate a mine in a reasonable manner. The company will continue to investigate means of financing, including a joint venture partnership, debt financing, offtake agreement, and equity financing. Bill will provide a conclusion.
Thanks, Jim. The last few months were filled with major achievements, including the turnaround of the UMZ mine, increasing gold head grades at the EVBC mine, and the receipt of the Michigan State mine permit at Copperwood. The new management team will continue to focus on improving the operations and increased cash flow, and we are on track to meet our guidance of 64,500 ounces per annum gold, 625,000 ounces per annum silver, and over 7,500 tons copper. We will now open the lines for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. We do have a question from Christos Doulis. Please state your company and proceed with your question.
I'm with Stonecap Securities. Guys, congratulations on getting these operations up and running and looks like generating some cash finally. Just curious, so we noticed that working capital grew in the quarter, and I'm curious, do you foresee that continuing to be going forward to the same kind of growth in working capital? We're wondering if it's going to stabilize or start to decrease at some point in the near future here.
Malcolm?
Yeah, I think, Chris, we'll see it stabilize. There has been an increase over the quarter, and in part resulted from the shift of the Don Mario operation from commissioning to start up of production. So we had costs which we had capitalized, and you may have seen in our MD&A reference to the fact that they were reclassified as working capital elements relating to that operation. But I would expect that while they may increase slightly in the next quarter, it should be primarily as a result of increased activity.
Okay. If you guys don't mind, I'd like to ask a couple of other quick questions here. If you could just give us a quick update on, are you still looking at June for the shaft to be commissioned?
Agnew?
No, that's absolutely correct. We are just now in the fine-tuning of the assembly of all the infrastructure for the shaft, and in June here we will start the commissioning and startup.
Okay, and next quick question is, do you guys anticipate providing an April update on EVBC operations?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and could you just give me an idea of your remaining CapEx to spend in 2012? I did see some reference to it in the MD&A, but I just want to get the number in firmly in my head, if you could. In calendar 2012.
Correct. We're looking at approximately $1.4 million at Don Mario. This is related to we have to do a tailings impoundment lift and some modifications because we have increased throughput. We're putting more tails now into the impoundment, so we have to make that improvement. And we're also buying additional mining equipment and plant equipment. Agnew, do you want to make a comment on EVBC, please?
There we have a slight increase of investment involving then the increased development underground to getting to the stope accesses, as well as on the finalizing the shaft. here to finish off this the following quarter.
I'm sorry, so could you just give me a rough number you think for CapEx for remaining calendar 2012?
It should be in the range of... maybe Malcolm has that number in available?
Based upon the additional CapEx we discussed at the recent board meeting, Bill,
right.
I think we are, and from I'm going to say from April 1, Chris, we
yep.
are looking at approximately another 25, 26 million. And that's total company on a consolidated basis.
So call it 24 million at EVBC?
In fact, it won't be quite that high. I would say 78.
Oh, because there's Copperwood as well, right?
That's right, exactly. 12.
And you got, I think it's, was it 8 million you were saying at Copperwood for the rest of the year?
For the rest of the fiscal year, yes.
Okay, that's fiscal year.
That's total for fiscal year end.
I beg your pardon, yes. It's in the order of what, Jim, about 5 million?
Just a tad over 5 million.
Right.
I think you know, Christos, let's back up here. From April 1st, there's your number for Copperwood. I believe since April 1st, on Ontario would be closer to 2 million, and the remainder would be attributed to EVBC.
So okay. We're looking at 26 all in, 7 from the 2, so 19 at EVBC.
No. For the April 1 to the remainder of the year, a total of about 10.6 plus. You're right about 19. Excuse me.
Thank you.
19 for EVBC, right.
Thanks, guys. And congratulations once again on getting these operations to start generating some positive cash flow.
Thank you, Christos.
Thank you. Once again, if you do have a question, you may press *1 on your telephone keypad. The next question is from Joe Mazumdar of Hayward. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, Joe.
Hey, some questions on, following up on a working capital question, like you have about $7 million in cash, but you also had $7 million restricted, and I believe that was for the retirement obligation on EVBC, but you also had another $6 million in concentrate and Doré receivables, I believe, and another $8-9 million in VAT receivables. Is this going to be an ongoing thing with respect to delays in payments? Is that what this is?
No, I think again it's a reflection of the startup of both operations. EVBC, of course, did start up in August, but we have only just declared production and got shipments moving in the last quarter, ended March 31, on UMC. So I think and our receivables are moving along nicely. I think if they increase at all, as I said earlier, it would be as a result of activities. Now the. The VAT is a different story. In Spain, we experienced considerable slowness of collection of VAT. That has improved considerably, where at this point, I'm going to say certainly at the end of April, we were down to 3 months, aging, if you will. And all of this, by the way, the VAT levels of receivables come from the development of both mines. In other words, the increased CapEx activity generated VAT that we're waiting to receive. In Bolivia, however, it's a different story, and there are much longer times before we are able to collect. And in fact, that too has improved recently. We have financed about $1 million in VAT confirmed to be returned to us in the past, I'm going to say 4 or 5 weeks, since the quarter end. So we should see improvement there as well, as a result of lower CapEx, lower development activities, and continued collections.
So in terms of the cash you project that you'll get from operations, how much do you think would be held back or slowed by these VAT receivables?
I'm not sure I understand your question. I mean, I think, as I say, we should begin to experience a more regular turnover of the VAT receivables.
So it'll be well below the levels they are right now on a on an ongoing basis?
Shouldn't see them continuing to increase, Joe, no.
Okay.
As I say, the one caveat I offer, however, is in Bolivia, we in fact receive from government promises to pay VAT, and we discount these at bank. This is a normal practice that's been going on for years.
Okay. And the, just another question on the volatility related to the mark-to-market of the derivative contracts, gold, copper, and euro. One question is, what's the contract that's giving you the biggest impact right now? And two, I gather that we'll be seeing this volatility going forward, considering the amount of hedging you have?
The contract giving, or the metal giving the greatest volatility thus far, at least for the current quarter ended March 31, the 3 months ended March 31, was 9.4 million.
Yeah, copper.
And that's copper.
Okay.
The gold forwards and collars are next with, I'm going to say, approximately 8 million, Joe.
Okay, so the euro is really not anything big.
It has thus far been fairly insignificant relative to the other two.
Okay, and I realize, like, you've increased along with Credit Suisse. I gather you've already got all the hedging in place that's required for that loan. We won't see any more hedging required.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. The one question for Agnew going forward is just on EVBC. On the throughput levels, can you just confirm the nominal throughput with the shaft in place and the nominal throughput right now of the plant at full capacity?
Right now we are in a level roughly around around 70, 75 ton. With when we have the shaft in place, we will get an advantage of that. We will be in a much better position to have more stopes available. But also we will have crushed material coming into the plant. That will mean a positive impact on the productivity, yes, on the throughput in the plant. What it could be, but we are making tests, and it could probably go up to around 90 ton.
Okay, thank you very much.
Excuse me, if I, just for clarity, because Joe alluded to it as well as Christos, part of that $19 million capital cost in Cambari included in that is a $6.5 million for the cash bond coming due this summer in Spain, and that's in restricted cash.
Okay, yeah, I got that. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from Christos Doulas of Stonecap Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, just one other thing I noticed on the inventory, saw materials and supplies at 9.8 million, which seemed a little high to me. What's the scoop there?
One of the reasons is the inventory down in Bolivia with iron funds. That's the majority of that.
But metals. Okay.
The iron funds is used for the precipitation step of the LPF.
Gotcha.
And we'll slowly try to work through that. As you know, though, it is not our primary process method right now.
The other point I'd make, Bill, is that the IFRS presentation, International Financial Reporting Standards presentation, has our stock inventory of concentrates included in that number, as well as the materials supplies, which, again, as Bill said, is substantially due to sponge inventory relating to the LPF process in Bolivia.
So do you think that'll be going down then, that materials and supplies number going forward?
Yes, I would certainly say it. In fact, it will, yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Williams.
Thank you all for attending, and have a great day.
Thank you. The conference has ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.